Next on BYUSN, men's basketball in Orlando. Huge road game against UCF. What are our expectations for the matchup? And is this a game BYU needs to win? Plus, we take a look at the Cougars' upcoming road schedule. How many road contests do we expect BYU to win over the duration of the regular season?
Jonathan Tavernari joins the program, his expectations for the game at UCF, as well as Demon and Ketchings after the spectacular Baylor game. And Hawaii transfer Keone Thim of men's volleyball previews the top five matchup between the Cougars and Rainbow Warriors at the Smith Fieldhouse tonight and tomorrow.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happiest of Fridays, this is how we do it.
Ball night.
In Studio B, I am Spencer Linton alongside BYU secondhand ticket broker, Jerem Jordan.
Please don't. Don't reach out to me. Sold out Friday and Saturday matches in the Smith Fieldhouse, number 5 BYU, number 4 Hawaii. Cannot wait for a rocking Smith Fieldhouse. First time since the Rainbow Warriors have been in the gym since 2019. First meeting since the 2021 National Championship game. I'm told by both coaches, hey, we're going to play this regularly, which they should, which, by the way, like especially for Hawaii, not as much for BYU, big rivalry, big game, right? When they played in the WAC in football, men's basketball wasn't a big rivalry, but they don't really play at all. But this is the sport that matters. Like, Hawaii's number one sport is men's volleyball. That's their number one exports, pineapples and men's volleyball championships. Like, they're really good, right? So I'm very excited about this. And then we have the gymnastics tri-meet as well, which you'll be at. So it's going to be a fun night on campus with two good sporting events.
Reach Jerem at 801. Find out if you want
tickets. About the 385, maybe?
Huh? Oh, sorry. Oh. That's right. You got your new phone number.
I did? No, I didn't.
There's some people out there like, wait, what?
Jerem,
did you send me your new phone number?
Multiple people reach out. I'm like, I'm not the ticket guy. I just call the game.
Great stuff. And it is a ball night and a gymnastics night. What's
meat.
The verse? Yeah, meat night.
No, it's just meat. That's just meat.
Meat night could carry,
meat night's barbecue night.
We're going to talk Brazilian steakhouse with Jonathan Tavernari, right?
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk Brazilian barbecue with JT.
All the good things on the mind. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Meat.
BYU's won 3 in a row and they're 5-4. The tune has changed significantly.
You get one quad, one win, but now the question becomes, can you do it on the road? That BYU-UCF game is of the utmost importance, I think, for both teams.
If they beat UCF and they win 4 games in a row, then belief goes next level as you come home. Another quad one opportunity, the first of what feels like countless opportunities BYU will have.
Numerous.
Over the remainder of the regular season. Next game, BYU and their 3-game win streak at UCF in Orlando. Yesterday, ESPN's Sean Farnham joined us to talk about what he believes will be the difference in the outcome of tomorrow's game.
They're one of the best in the country in drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line and manufacturing points. So while you think you play a good possession of defense and all of a sudden you reach in, down the strip, that late in the shot clock because you stand up out of your stance, they're going to get to the free throw line and they're going to exploit you and manufacture points. And I think that, to me, you look at those free throw numbers. If they're doubling up BYU at the free throw line, UCF is going to win the game.
Let's look at those numbers that Sean is referencing, Jerem. In fact, almost 25%, it's 22.4%, but almost a quarter of your points for UCF come from the free throw line.
That's high.
And they shoot it at a great clip at the free throw line. Top 30 in the country, 77.4% as a team.
That's an exciting brand of basketball. Let's watch free throws.
We should expect this because do you remember what happened against UCF last year, specifically in Provo?
I think there were 70-something free throws and 50 fouls or something.
It was unwatchable. But that's how they got back in the game and almost stole that game at the Marriott Center. UCF loves to get downhill. They're different this year, I feel, because their guard play overall is more dynamic.
They make more shots.
Better scores.
They used to just be chuck and duck, get an offensive rebound.
Yes.
Yeah, it was not fun to watch. They're a little more fluid this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, Sean's onto something for sure when he discusses, like, what UCF is, their free throw shooting. And, man, they just draw a lot of fouls. BYU and that defensive unit's really going to be challenged tomorrow. So you've heard what Sean thinks. What are your expectations for tomorrow's game in Orlando?
I'm not sure I expect BYU to win per se, but I expect BYU to be in it at the end and hopefully win. It's a long ways to go. This is a tough road trip just physically, right? Luckily, they have airplanes, no handcarts this time. But KenPom expects a one-point win for BYU, 51% chance. KenPom's been pretty on the last couple games, so I'm interested in that.
He's got BYU going 11-9 in the Big 12.
Let's go. BYU number 15 offensive efficiency team in the country. The last three games, they put up their three best Big 12 points per possession games. I like that. BYU's a good three-point shooting team right now, 42nd in three-point percentage, 9th in twos. 25% of BYU's points come from the three-point line. Demon back-to-back 15-point games. Of course, he's given you those six or seven assists. And how about Cannon Catchings has made 7 threes the last 2 games. Last game was the high. He's probably not going to do better than that in terms of efficiency. With 8 of 8, that was amazing. But is he going to have another 20 piece? Yes, he is at some point. Hopefully he can continue off the bench to be a double-figure scorer. I think that's what we need. Don't need 20, but need 10 and good defense. Meanwhile, as you mentioned, UCF, top 50 offense, top 90 defense. The difference is in tempo, 29th this year. They'll create a lot of possessions by trying to get extras. But they're terrible defending teams' offensive glass. BYU is awesome on the offensive glass.
Yes.
I think that's where BYU has a big advantage.
Biggest advantage in this game.
Can Kaba Keita and the long arms of Richie Saunders and Yegor Demon and whatnot get in there and get some offensive rebounds, some putbacks, some second chance points, some kickouts? That could be where BYU has some fun. You talked about those guards for UCF. There's a trio of Keyshawn Hall, who's really good. Yeah. Put up a 40-piece against Arizona State. Richie Saunders put up 30, by the way. 34 at Kansas Tuesday. He can go off. He's a guy that's going to be number one on the scouting report. Darius Johnson, 43% from three. We remember him from last year. Jordan Ivey Curry, we actually know, because he played at Pacific 2 years ago when BYU was in the WCC. He's the other guy. All three of those guys are the double-figure scorers for UCF. They combined for about 47 a game. So they're interesting, 10-2 at home. They almost beat Houston. They pounded TCU by 27, yet they lost 99-48 to Kansas in Orlando. Then they only lost by 4 on Tuesday in fog. So I don't know what team to expect per se for UCF. I'm expecting the very good version of them. But what if the one that stinks against Kansas shows up and BYU pulls this off? I could see BYU winning the game. I could also see BYU losing a close game. Hopefully it is BYU coming out on top, but it is a much tougher challenge and a different challenge than last year, where BYU won all three against a UCF team that was not as skilled offensively.
What do I expect? A lot of free throws and a close game. And not surprisingly, teams that make free throws in the clutch typically win those close games.
Sure.
BYU hasn't done that a ton. They did do it against Baylor.
Yeah.
But to your point, the clear advantage in this game. Let me paint the picture for you. UCF is one of 360-some-odd Division I college basketball teams in America. They rank 339 in defending the glass against offensive rebounders.
Yeah.
They allow a lot of offensive rebounds. BYU likes to shoot a lot of threes. They love that bingo three that Kevin Young references, which is an offensive rebound, kick out to an open shooter for a three.
They call that the bingo. Can we call it the bing-bong three?
Whatever you'd like to call it.
Fine. Bing-bong!
Bing-bong or the bingo three.
Was it the Knicks fans that did the bing-bong thing a few years ago? Remember? Bing-bong!
We can do that too. But my point is, BYU loves to get after it on the offensive glass, and they love that kick out for three. UCF gives up a lot of three-point field goal attempts. Mm. This feeds into what BYU could do. If they're going to win this game, got to make some clutch free throws, and BYU needs to hit the glass and make some of those bingo three-pointers, and I think they're in good shape if they do that. But it's going to be close.
Yeah, I think this is a tough game. Quad one opportunity. Let's go. Okay, yesterday Sean Farnham also spoke about what a win over UCF would mean for Brigham.
You've got to be able to win those games that you're supposed to win. And then can you steal one? Can you get one that maybe people don't expect you? And UCF would be one of those games, by the way, going on the road against a very good UCF team that's got a lot of guards that are aggressive. And Mustafa Tom is a massive freshman down underneath at 7'2". So can you find a way to win that game? And if you do, all of a sudden now we start to change the conversation very, very quickly.
So to Elder Farnham's point there, is this a game BYU needs to win?
Need is an interesting word. It's late January, early February. No, BYU doesn't need to win this game unless you're thinking, okay, do we want BYU to be like a 7 or 8 seed or better and feel good about that in the NCAA tournament, then this is one of those swing games where it's like, okay, yeah, you probably need to win this.
Yeah, what are the expectations?
If you move the goalposts and you're like, BYU just needs to get into the tournament, then
is that where we're at, by the way?
Probably.
I think it's just get in.
Get into the tournament.
I'm not sure we can be
picky. You're an 11 seed.
There's one quad one right now. Can we be super picky about this right now? I don't think so.
But if you do want BYU to guarantee their status as a single-digit seed, then this is one of those games that BYU probably does need to win. If they don't, then I'm thinking, where in the world is BYU going to get a critical road win if they can't get it at UCF when KenPom says they're a one-point favorite? Maybe Arizona State? So if BYU doesn't win this game at UCF, then I look at Arizona State on the road and say, okay, that's a game they probably now need to win on the road later in the season to bolster their resume. It would be nice to have a quad one road win.
Yes, when's it going to come? More on that in just a sec. No, BYU does not need to win the game, but it would be awesome. Think about if BYU does. They would have so much momentum going into the
Arizona game. Four-game win streak?
Which, by the way, BYU's three-game win streak is tied for third in the league. It's hard to put games together, wins together. Houston has won all 9 in the league. Texas Tech has won 5 in a row. That Texas Tech loss is not a bad loss at home. That team's better than we thought. Yes, BYU could have won the game. I don't think they should have won the game, but they certainly could have. Yes, go compete, get some confidence on the road. BYU beat Colorado, but it doesn't mean the lid's off. It just means you check the box of getting the first one. You're going to need some others, which brings us to how many road games does BYU do you expect BYU to win the rest of the season? There are 6 left.
That's a loaded question, and I do love checking the boxes that BYU has done in this current 3-game win streak. Like they've done something they haven't done previously.
Yes. Last year's team, right?
The next 3-game
win streak.
Box to check is quad one road win. Can you do that and get to a 4-game win streak?
And BYU probably needs one on Selection Sunday, let's be honest. Can they go into Selection Sunday and not have a single road quad one win and feel like they have like this resume that totally deserves to be in?
Then that's a potential
probably
knock.
Not,
that's
right?
A potential knock against their resume.
You look at the non-conference, didn't really beat anybody. You would look at that. You have to get a quad one road win. Now, if you beat Arizona or Kansas at home, does that make up for a moment
maybe
like that? But we want it all, baby. We want that and road wins.
You need a quality road win somewhere to feel good.
And there's no guarantee
about
that,
your resume.
There's no guarantee that tomorrow would stay quad one. That might be quad two in the end.
How many road games will BYU win the rest of the season? That is a fantastic question.
What do you think? There's 6 left.
Let's look at the KenPom odds for all 6 of those.
Okay.
We've mentioned UCF, 51% chance. That's the second best opportunity remaining for BYU.
That's interesting.
Arizona State the highest, a staggering 1% higher than that at 52%. Cincinnati is an interesting game at 49%. Then you got West Virginia at 44%. Arizona on the road, 27%. Iowa State is a world beater on their home floor. That's just a 15% chance for BYU and Ames.
Most winnable at Cincinnati. Given that BYU already won that game by 28.
The matchup is tough for Cincinnati because they're having a tough time manufacturing offense.
And BYU, I heard that you have to score to win. That's
BYU
a thing
just put
that
up
someone told
80
me
against their really good defensive team. They'll be better on their home floor without question against BYU.
But is it is that 28 the most, points better?
Is that the most winnable? It feels like it because of what BYU did. And Cincinnati's really struggling. So that looks like the most winnable road game.
Unless it's the UCF team that played Kansas at home. They stunk.
And but what is Arizona State at home?
Right.
They've won some big games at home.
That was a 20-point win for BYU. I'm not sure. All I know is these are going to be tough. Like, out of those 6, like, 3, I think BYU could certainly go 3-3, 2-4.
Oh, man, see, I feel like 2-4 is probably the expectation.
Probably. Give me 3-3. If this team is making inroads, pun intended, if they are better, if they're playing even better on offense, if they are growing, if these freshmen are graduating to sophomore-like experience at this point of the season, get me 3. Get me 3, because then you can defend some home court, get you an Arizona or a Kansas win. Now your resume is looking pretty good where you could be an 8 or 9, maybe a 7 if things go great and you make a little run in the Big 12 tournament. But yeah, it all depends, like you said, on what the expectations are for this team. If it's just straight up make the tourney, well, there's some minimums. Yeah, just win 2.
You got to win 2
road games.
You don't
have to beat Arizona or Kansas, but you need to take care of the Kansas State and West Virginias of the world at home and so on and so forth. Do you split Cincinnati, West Virginia? It's like, could BYU go and win both? Like, they could absolutely go and win both. Keep this kind of momentum going. At Iowa State, not a game you have to win. Like, that's a tough place to play, literally for anyone in the country, not just Brigham.
My expectation from the get-go of how BYU got to 10 conference wins, which is where I started the season. I think BYU will win 10 conference games. I said 7-3 at home, 3-7 on the road.
Yeah.
That's the combo.
Yep.
I don't think we're that far off of that being a realistic turnout based on what BYU has done to this point. They could win two of their remaining six road games, get to 3-7, and go 7-3 at home. I would love 8-2 at home, because that guarantees you either beat Arizona or Kansas on your home floor.
And you beat West Virginia.
And Utah and Kansas State. You hold serve. You do everything you're supposed
to
do.
We're expecting BYU to beat Kansas State and Utah at home.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
I'm expecting BYU to beat West Virginia at home, too.
Mm.
That'll be a tough but big game.
I love that all six of the remaining road games are quad one games. I love that. Every single one of them.
Opportunity.
Quad
not
one
lacking.
Road opportunities.
In the Big 12.
Our question of the day. We just talked about it. The gauntlet that BYU will face in their six remaining road games. And they're only currently favored in two of them. Both by 1 point. They're favored in those two by 1 point.
Barely.
How many road games do all of you expect BYU to win the rest of the season? Max of six. Will anybody say zero? I hope not.
Does anyone say five or six?
At McKay Dobbins. Answers on X. Three. BYU picks up dubs against UCF, Cincinnati, and Arizona State. The rest will be tough. If they win three of the remaining six and finish with four road wins.
That's pretty good. Now you're talking about you could be a six.
You're probably like a seven seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
All right, Wayne on X, Facebook, and Instagram. If you'd like to join that conversation about BYU's road warrior potential.
One road game. Make it two tomorrow. Come on. Former Cougars Kyle Van Noy, Fred Warner, who were playing golf together, by the way, made an appearance on the McAfee Show. Mm-hmm. They'll be in the Pro Bowl games this weekend. Will you be tuning in?
I will be watching the highlights on social media. We got so much stuff going on. You're calling two volleyball matches. I'm calling
a
gymnastics meet. We got to pay attention to BYU basketball.
Listen, I got a volleyball and a basketball game tomorrow with my kids.
You have three children. Yeah. I have four children. I love that people are like, so just on the weekends, like, do you just kick back and just like watch all the BYU sports?
Yeah, just every game.
I'm like, yeah, that and the 37 items that are on my to-do list for my wife, okay?
I took a snowblower to be fixed yesterday. I got to pick that up. Storm's coming into town. We got stuff to do.
Oh, I will happily watch those highlights on social media.
I might not even watch the highlights. I don't really care about the Pro Bowl. It's boring.
It is very cool that Kyle's in his first Pro Bowl. That's awesome.
The announcement of them going to the Pro Bowl is more...
That's the most exciting.
Yeah. Nothing else, man. I don't want to watch the Bosa Brothers speedwalk. I don't care about that.
We love Kyle and Fred.
Oh, I admitted I watched that part.
They'll do their thing. It's a fun personality-driven event, so it's a good watch. Frankly, probably don't have time.
It's not that good. Baker Mayfield, back from Jamaica.
Number five, BYU men's volleyball, hosting number four, Hawaii tonight, as mentioned previous on the program.
Yes.
That is absolutely a must-watch for Jerem Jordan because he's calling the games, okay? Would a split be good enough here against fourth-ranked Hawaii on BYU's home floor?
Hard not to say yes. BYU's in the middle of six matches against the Big West, by the way. Lost two last week in 5-3. Hawaii, two. It's UC Santa Barbara in town next week. I think at the end of the season, if BYU doesn't win the MPSF tournament, they're going to be looking at, well, what are your good wins in non-conference? You have to be able to say at least one versus Hawaii.
Yes, not on your home floor.
Not all splits are created equal, Spence. Like if BYU won in three but lost in five, that's not the same. Like you dominated and then you barely lost. That's in OT. It needs to be at least a split, if not win two. Hawaii's a very young but good team. Three U19 World Championship players, U.S., Bulgaria, France. BYU's got Keone Thim, who's real fired up to play his former team. We'll talk to him in a few minutes.
I know it's only two matches, but the results of this specific series feel like they have huge ramifications on BYU's tournament resume and tournament chances. If BYU, heaven forbid, were swept by Hawaii on their home floor, now it gets weird.
Just meaning lose two in any fashion?
Yeah, now it gets weird.
I'm not sure they'd have great wins. Like, Ball State and Ohio State were awesome.
Those are good,
like,
road
do
wins.
Do you have any, like, top five non-conference? Or,
Then it's a little bit of a hollow resume.
Important
yes.
matches.
You got to win at least one of these to feel good about getting into the tournament. If you win both, now you jump Hawaii, and now you're a top four team in the country.
Now you'd have a head-to-head at the end of the season. Should Hawaii not win the Big West, which I don't expect them to.
Yeah.
It's going to be UCLA.
Now you couple two wins against Hawaii with the four great wins you had on the road.
Yeah, now you're like,
hey. You got some meat on your resume.
Yes. So important, real important. Can't wait to talk to Keone, by the way. I'm sure he's excited to play Hawaii. Men's Hoops travels to Orlando. They did so yesterday. They're going to take on UCF tomorrow. Coverage begins at 3 Eastern on BYU Radio. A little afternoon hoops.
Listen, our good friend Kristen Kozlowski is doing Disney World today.
Oh, nice.
Let's go. She'll be there to support the Cougs and Brody.
That's fantastic. Finally, she made the road trip.
Yes.
Travis makes every single one.
Jonathan Tavernari is also supporting the Cougars, but he's doing so by joining us on this program, as Jerem Jordan says. The program.
Thanks, McAfee.
Can he get BYU with his good luck to a 4-game win streak?
Cougars right now riding a 3-game winning streak.
You're able to stack wins?
Yeah, 3 straight.
All of a sudden you start to change kind of how you feel about yourself.
Holy cow, what a second half performance by BYU.
Oh, I think they're back on track.
Go execute now away from home.
Happy Friday. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. And joining us now to discuss the next big opportunity for BYU basketball is former sharpshooter, BYU basketball great Jonathan Tavernari, back on the show. JT, how are you this Friday morning?
Hey, bonito.
Hey, Jerem just made my day. He called me extremely handsome, which is what my mom and my wife call me. So, and we're off to a great start.
Looking good,
appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, love to hear that. I wish I understood the language, but that's a conversation for another day. What I do understand.
You know a phrase?
Yeah, muito bem.
Yeah, there you go. There
muito
you go.
Bem. And BYU is muito bem, Jonathan.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, you just got yourself some brasa.
Let's
brasa
go.
That's a Brazilian Portuguese version of very nice.
Yes, very nice. BYU basketball playing at a very nice level right now with 3 straight wins for the first time ever in Big 12 conference play. Jonathan, how do you feel like BYU was able to turn the corner to do something that they have never done?
Consistency, right? I think, Jerem, that's something that we spoke at the pregame and at the postgame show. The way that they played that day was incredible. From the beginning to the end, right? Baylor had a few times that they got close, but then to be able to just weather the runs and the storms that Baylor brought, they then were able to respond and do it well, right? And so consistency, right? The difference between good and great, I always say to my boys, the team that I coach, is consistency on the little things, right? That's the difference between good and great. And BYU certainly showed that. And they did that against a very formidable foe, which Baylor, obviously, with their two freshmen, Wright and Edgecombe, my goodness, they were a handful to deal with.
What do you expect from Yegor Demon and Kenan Ketchings? Because Yegor continues to have great assist numbers, but he scored 15 in 2 games back-to-back. Kenan Ketchings coming off a career-high 23 points, of course, that perfect performance. He made 3 threes the game before that against Cincinnati. So what do you expect from those two in this game tomorrow?
Well, so I would never forget being in the studio and your reaction, JJ, to your going, holy moly, first freshman in the century. With all of the things that Cannon did, right? I'm never going to forget that. I think I was in the middle of taking a bite of candy or something because of how nervous I was.
Well, there was a whole bowl, so it's hard to forget.
To me, what he did was incredible. And, before the show, we talked, and I don't see a world where if they keep playing, and I don't want to say at that level because what Cannon did was once in a lifetime almost. But if they keep playing at a constant level and they are performing well, I think it's difficult for you not to look at them and say, fellas, we've enjoyed having you here. Good luck in the next phase of your life playing in the NBA. And that is because, Cannon delivered that where scouts were probably there to see him as a secondary option. Richie was probably, up there as well, but mainly to see Yegor and Edgecombe and Wright. And the way that Cannon delivered was incredible. but also Yegor, even through his lows, because we saw a high, you know, in the last game, even on his lows, people rave about his passing ability, his, you know, court vision. And so if BYU is to accomplish what they need to accomplish to make to the NCAA tournament, it's hard to envision that happening without Yegor and Cannon doing it well, and also with them, you know, kind of solidifying them as NBA draft picks coming June.
Jonathan Tavernari is on BYU Sports Nation. We turn the page to UCF tomorrow. They're a team that loves to get downhill at their guard play. They have a couple of guys that can go off on any given night. And frankly, they've given BYU trouble at times, although the Cougars have found a way. This game has been circled for them, Jonathan. So when you consider what's on the table for BYU in Orlando, BYU hasn't played well on the road this season. What are you expecting tomorrow against this version of the Golden Knights?
Well, and I just pulled up here the website. I want to make sure I got the names right as I was prepping for this. I mean, what an interesting team they are. Beat Texas A&M at the beginning of the season, and then, you know, have somewhat of a performance against Wisconsin. And then they go and beat Texas Tech at Texas Tech, which we all know it's not an easy place to play. Turn around, get completely smacked by Kansas, right? And then turn around and have a very tough game against Arizona. Have a very tough game against Houston, get smacked by Iowa State, to then turn around and beat TCU and have a very close game against Kansas. And so it's almost like a Dr., you know, Jerko, Mr. Hyde type of situation. Which team is BYU going to face? And, you know, hope for the best, plan for the worst. They should be really difficult to beat at home. And BYU needs to bring their A game. And obviously, you know, playing on the road in the Big 12 is different than any other conference. Maybe from aside the ACC, when you're Duke and North Carolina going to each other's places. But BYU has their handfuls. And I will say this, Spencer, just a little bit of maybe a continuation of this answer, but off topic. I remember last year you talking about how many wins they need in January, how many wins they need in February. And then talking with JJ on Tuesday, my goodness gracious, BYU is not far off from where they were last year to this year. They're actually better. Through 20 games, they have one less win than they did last year. But in conference, they have one more win. They were 3-4 last year. BYU is 5-4 this year. And I would ask you guys, comparing to how BYU and the season that they had last year, you know, my perspective, I'd love to know from you, if always felt like this season, it never got going and it never was magical, compared to, you know, the Winter Wonderland and Disneyland ride that we all felt that BYU was in last year. And so, you know, having the games that they have left, I certainly have a number in mind that they need to win to be a lock in the NCAA tournament. But most important game of the season is the next one, and BYU have the handful against UCF.
Yeah, to feel like a lock, you would probably need to win 11 games in league and then win at least a game in Kansas City. But I think at 10-10, we're going to feel pretty good. 9-11, we're a little nervous, but we feel like we're in the mix. I don't know if in the mix would be good enough for this group, given how talented they are. You do have a nice core of vets. You do have some NBA talented freshmen. It's first year of Kevin Young. How high are we going to hold the standard? Is BYU too competitive in NIL to not expect to make the NCAA tournament, right? These are all questions that I think are pretty interesting. Spence, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I said it yesterday. I feel like BYU, if they win 10 games in the regular season and then go and get the 11th in Kansas City, some combination to get BYU to 11 wins should make them feel like an absolute lock. I'd say like 85% chance they're in if they get to 10 regular season wins.
And JT, it probably depends on what wins those are. Like if it's Arizona State and Kansas State and at Cincinnati, that, like, you need a, like, Baylor can't be the best win of the season. I think you need an Arizona or Kansas to pad the resume. How many quad ones will BYU get? They only have one right now. They can get another one tomorrow at UCF.
I think you hit the nail right on the head, JJ, because that's one thing that I would say. BYU has 11 games left. You know, at six, I personally think that if you win 7 of those 11, you're guaranteed to most likely be, you know, a higher seed, no lower than a 6.
Hold on, it's either guaranteed or it's most likely. Which one is it?
I would say that if they win 7 games, they are guaranteed to be at least a 6 or better. So
in the NCAA tournament, like it, yeah.
In the NCAA tournament. Yeah. So yeah, hold me to that. Now, the counterpart to that is, okay, you know, that's obviously aiming for the moon, right? I mean, we're trying to land in Mars now. So let's just say that's trying to land in Mars. But, the second part of it is probably if they go 6-5 or maybe 5-6 to Spencer's point, then I'm going to agree with you, Jerem, that they probably, if they're only going to win 5 games left in the Big 12, then 2 of those wins better be against Kansas and better be against Arizona or Iowa State. For they have to win 2 of those 3 for them to be able to say, we're good, we're comfortable. But then to your point, right, star power. That's, you know, a big thing on the NCAA tournament, NIL world and so on, is star power. As scouts and people are going to want to see Yegor and Cannon and Richie and Kevin Young and so on. And so with 5 wins, 2 of them have to be against Kansas and Iowa State and Arizona for BYU to say, yeah, we're good. We're going to be dancing in March.
2 of those 3 sounds good, Spence.
Let's go.
I'd take 1 of 3 right now.
Jonathan Tavernari is on BYU Sports Nation. The veterans have been an interesting conversation this season on this team, JT. Richie Saunders has gone to another level, clearly. I know that you and I agree that Dallin Hall is probably the most underappreciated veteran on this team. So I'm going to ask your opinion here. Why do you feel like that is his title as an underappreciated veteran on this team?
And I'm going to answer this, you know, mentioning Dallin, but also mentioning a couple of other players. Not that they have to do with Dallin, but with the situation. Dallin, before Richie exploded, props to him. But before we all got started, you know, we all got started with this season, the best prospect that BYU had coming back was Dallin, based on how he finished last year. I don't think a lot of people would argue with me on that. Based on how Dallin finished the year, all of the hype in the offseason, Dallin was the primary target to come back, right? Now, Dallin came back, he was hurt, but then Yegor showed up. And Yegor, the same thing, the same effect that Yegor, you know, that the presence of Yegor has had on Dallin, I'll probably say has happened with Elijah Crawford and Brody Kozlowski. Guys, any other normal year of BYU basketball, Elijah and Brody are the highest rated recruits on the team. They are the talk of the town. But just so happened that, you know, and I'm going to say about this, you know, Jerem's going to get a big smile on his face. Yegor should be considered a bugger boy. He should be considered an All-American. He is the talk of being a top 5 lottery pick. You don't get that by just being some scrub that walks off the train or the bus or the plane from Moscow. He is coming from arguably the best basketball place in the world outside of 30 NBA teams. And so from that perspective, when you have that massive of an impact, you know, on your team, Dallin gets a little bit underappreciated because let's be realistic, guys. You know, most of the lineups that have been, you know, that have been finishing a game, Dallin is there. And he is there to provide, you know, that experience, that security. No one is questioning how talented Yegor is. Yegor is once in a lifetime recruit. How many types of Yegor, guys that come from Real Madrid, Barcelona, Panathinaikos, you name it, are going to come down to Provo, Utah to play basketball at BYU. And it's the reason why we've often have compared Yegor's impact to Krasimir Čosić, who is one of my heroes. And so because that's not going to happen very often, this year is once in a lifetime year for BYU, which is the same thing for next year with AJ. Do I see this thing be sustainable? I don't know. I think it's going to depend on the NCAA success that BYU has, and also if Yegor and Cannon are drafted. Because then, the year after AJ, what's to stop BYU from getting 2 or 3 of the top 20 guys in the class? And so, to me, when you add all of this, it's why Dallin Hall is underappreciated, because his defense is great. Obviously, he is not known as a scorer, but he has done that in his career. He delivered a big punch to Kansas last year to their only loss after their winning at halftime, 80-1. And also, even Tuesday on the game against Baylor, he's had, you know, over and over again, step back threes, which, you know, everybody talks about his jump shot being suspect. I worked with him in the summer. His jump shot is not suspect. People's opinion about his jump shot is suspect because they haven't seen him do it. And so that's, to me, what makes Dallin very underappreciated.
JT, great to talk to you as always. We're ready for BYU at UCF in Orlando. Hey, as long as you got your suit and tie, you're good, right?
As long as I got my suit and tie.
Hey, I'm ready to go dancing if I have to loosen up a little bit and, you know, and kick back and put my BYU hat on and be the annoying alumni. I'm ready to go. So call me in. Call me into the train, Spence.
Jonathan Tavernari on BYU Sports Nation. Great to talk to you, man. Have a great weekend.
Follow.
Demise. Ciao, ciao.
Hey, listen, we need it. At least one Justin Timberlake reference, JT for another JT, right?
Well, sometimes I get jealous. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Great song.
BYU Gymnastics tonight. It's a meet night. Let's go. Chloe Hoke and the Cougs against Southern Utah. UC Davis. Try meet 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
After the break, what did AJ DiBonta do in his latest game that has him getting so much national attention? Plus, how did Tyler Batty and Jacob Robinson perform in the Shrine Bowl? Headlines on the way on BYUSN.
Everybody in Orlando.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. Happy Friday. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your Friday headlines.
Men's basketball takes a 3-game win streak to the Doe to play UCF tomorrow. Pre-game 3 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game on ESPN+. At 4 Eastern, Cougars 5-4 in Big 12 play, tied for 6th in the Big 12. The Knights are 4-5. ESPN gives BYU a 60% chance to win.
It's called the Doe?
A female deer.
BYU basketball signee AJ DiBonta scored 35 points, added 15 rebounds in a Utah Prep 82-79 win over Sagemont Prep the Mont Verde Academy Invitational Tournament in the Orlando area, the Doe. Mm-hmm. AJ was 13 of 21 from the field, 7 for 8 from the three-point line. He's 6'9". BT Dub. Xavion Staten blocked Sagemont's game-tying three-point attempt as time expired.
Nice.
Utah Prep plays in the semifinals of the tournament today.
Tyler Batty and Jacob Robinson played for Team West in the Shrine Bowl last night, also in Orlando. Tyler Batty recorded 3 tackles, 2 quarterback hits. Jacob Robinson had 5 tackles.
Let's take it to former BYU football stars Fred Warner and Kyle Van Noy, who are both participating in the NFL Pro Bowl games this weekend. In Orlando.
Everybody in Orlando, man.
Except for us. This marks Fred Warner's 4th Pro Bowl appearance, Kyle Van Noy's 1st appearance as a Pro Bowler.
Number 5 men's volleyball hosts number 4 Hawaii tonight and tomorrow, 9 Eastern on BYU TV. First meeting since the 2021 Natty. First in Provo since 2019. BYU's 25-4 all-time versus the Rainbow Warriors in Provo. Outside hitter transfer Keone Thim from Hawaii is in studio next segment to talk about it.
BYU women's basketball in Tempe, Arizona to take on Arizona State. Both of those clubs desperate for a Big 12 win. The Cougars have lost 7 straight, just 1-8 in the Big 12. Sun Devils have lost 7 straight. They're 2-8 in conference games. Tip off tomorrow, 8:30 Eastern on BYU Radio. Watch it on ESPN+.
That's a win. Let's go. Gymnastics hosts Southern Utah and UC Davis tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN+. With your boy Spender Linton on the call. In the Cougars' last meet, BYU scored a 195-325, second highest score of the season.
BYU's track and field distance teams travel to Boston to compete in the John Thomas Terrier Classic at Boston University today and tomorrow.
Shout out to my brother-in-law, Stetson, who got his doctorate from BYU.
Nice.
Men and women's tennis are on the road this weekend. Men are in Eugene taking on Eastern Washington and Oregon. Women are in Pullman today taking on Washington State. And then we'll head to Moscow, Idaho. Tomorrow to face Eastern Washington and Idaho.
The party really starts for volleyball after the break because Keone Thim just walked into studio.
Yeah.
He's ready to join us to preview tonight's matchup against Hawaii. A couple of top 5 teams in a sold-out Smith Fieldhouse. Do you think there's any emotion surrounding this game?
Just a mild amount.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
Keone Thim, 68 miles an hour.
Thim one-on-one, landed and pointed at the ball. Keone Thim rises up. Back row to Thim, and his first ace. That over, out of the back row, Keone Thim. That's just a taste.
Let's give you another taste as we welcome you back to Studio B for this live edition of BYU Sports Nation. The man, Keone Thim, is in studio with us.
That well-groomed, honor-approved mustache is looking good, dude.
Trimmed it up this morning.
Looking good, man.
Walk me through the mentality of a man that has a mustache and the swag that is required to pull that off.
It's a big responsibility, you know. I learned that after my first game and all the compliments I got from the people here. So now I got to take, it's like surgery. Got to take real good care of it.
Just a fine comb like Jackie Moon going through each one. Obviously transferring from Hawaii, playing Hawaii tonight. What are the emotions like in this top five matchup?
At the end of the day, as much as we'll be media trained and be cordial, it's pretty personal for the both of us. There's a lot of emotions going into it, so I think the best mentality to go into it is just it's war, honestly.
Walk us through the idea of a sold-out Smithfield House on Friday and Saturday for this matchup. What happens in your mind when I tell you those things? The fact is it's sold out, and it's two top five teams, and the other team's Hawaii.
I'm very excited. It's going to be because, you know, we had our first home game, and it was a pretty good crowd. But so this is also not a first-time experience for them, but also a first-time experience for me to get a full sold-out crowd. So I'm fired up, you know. I really want to feel what it's like. I watched a sold-out crowd before, and it was crazy. So being able to be on the court with a sold-out crowd is going to be super, super fun.
Back to your answer a moment ago. How will that sort of emotion manifest itself within the match? Because you have a job to do, and if you get too emotional, that can affect you physically, yet you want to harness that in a positive way. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's like you can use it to fire you up in the right way, but it also can be detrimental if you let it kind of take over you. So I think using it to my advantage and staying in the present, and mainly staying in my team, as much as the media is, you know, pushing this whole transfer thing, you know, it's like I'm not the only one going to war. My boys are all going to war with me, so they are just as important as me, and I'm going to make sure that's my priority is being with them.
Our sideline reporter, Kenzie Dally, she was an All-American at Utah, then transferred for her senior year at BYU, and when she played Utah, she got so into it that she cramped up. She said, it manifests itself into my calves. The hope is you do not tonight.
I've
so
been
that's
drinking my electrolytes.
Let's
I'll
go.
Be nice. I'll be good.
Get Keone some pickle juice.
On the sideline waiting.
Get him ready. Did you know when you decided to transfer to BYU that Hawaii was on the schedule for this trip?
I found out pretty soon after. You know, the guys would talk to Coach Charlie, and then they would tell me that they really want to do it, and then they want to sign off on it. We couldn't really say anything because none of the schedules were released yet, but I kind of knew for a while, you know, because I pushed the right buttons to get this game back on track. So, yeah, we knew for a minute, so I've been waiting.
I'm excited to see it, and I'm talking to the coaches this week. Both Charlie Wade and Sean Olmstead want to play this game, which is great. BYU and Hawaii used to play in all kinds of things. They don't really now. This will be the start, hopefully, of something cool. Now it's a top five matchup and important for you guys in the non-conference to get some notable wins. UC Irvine, you were this close on the first night. Second night, you know, Luke's thrown up. It wasn't ideal. How important are these matches for what you need to do at the end of the year, which is get into the NCAA tournament?
I think winning to losing wise, it's not as huge as people think, but it's huge for us to grow as a team and be battle tested because we saw UCLA lose a match, saw Long Beach take some close ones to some lower ranked teams as well. So it's kind of one of those years where it's literally just whoever's going to be the best in the April, who's going to play the best at the right time. So I think being the schedule that we have and the biggest battle tested team, I think that's going to be a huge advantage for us.
How much does the venue and where this match is played matter in a rivalry contest like this?
It's great. We're on the good side of that, the venue. So, but they, I mean, at the end of the day, they have a good venue too. They know what it's like. So it's going to be fun for them. It's going to be fun for us. It's the entertainment business. After all, we all know how to go crazy in a wild crowd. So we'll definitely, both teams will be fired up and ready to go.
I don't think a lot of people understand the Hawaii-BYU rivalry dynamic because it's gone away because they don't play in football anymore. Yes. They're not in the same conference. But it feels like it's still there in volleyball. You,
as a kid from Honolulu, you know too, right?
You can explain to the younger generation better than most what Hawaii feels about BYU. So how would you sum up the emotions of that?
I actually think it's pretty respectful, but it's very passionate. Hawaii fans are very passionate about their people, and BYU fans are very passionate about their people. So there's no hate. There's no hate, but it's both sides really want to win, and both sides really represent their people. So it's very emotional, very, very chaotic. it's just going to be a war for sure.
And we felt that when we were at the 2019 Hawaii Bowl when it was BYU Hawaii. Like that was a taste.
It's like
of
a
that.
Return. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you know, these two in volleyball haven't played since 21 Natty, 2019 in Provo. So it's going to be fun. You've got a ton of family coming. Sean Olmstead said something like 50 plus.
Going to be at the game. I got the whole squad there. They'll be everywhere.
It's going to be awesome. What's that support going to be like? And then the team that I've seen the most calling matches for 17 years in Smith Fieldhouse show up and rep their team is Hawaii. There's going to be people with the state flag showing up, which will be a cool environment.
Yeah, there'll be some green in there, no surprise. Because also there's a lot of people who live or from Hawaii who live here and love the state. So there's going to be
some. We had BYU students on our crew that went in their Hawaii gear. So like, I was like, bro, what is happening?
But I know a lot of people that are going to be cheering for both sides, but my family being here is just like more motivation, you know. Took the time to fly up. They're supporting me. I got no reason to be scared of anything. They love me. And I'm just going to go out there and do my thing.
And Grandpa Mike Wilton, who is the winningest coach at Hawaii, will be in the stands, which is always, it's always good to see Mike. Yep. He's coached here, too.
He's been texting me, giving me tips all week, you know.
It's awesome.
BYU volleyball star Keone Thim is on BYU Sports Nation. Tough matches at UC Irvine, especially when you look back at the first one, because you almost get that first one.
Right.
And then a tough lesson the next night. So what did you learn from those two matches that you feel like made your team better?
I think 100% we learned that we have this weird resilience and fighting power to be able to fight that hard in tough situations for that many five-setters in a row. Nah, it's hard. It's hard, but we did it. And, you know, the gas kind of ran out of the tank on that second night, and we learned that basically we got to learn – yes, we have the grit, and we'll definitely bring it out when we need to, but we're going to have to learn how to play some more systematic, cleaner volleyball, you know, more reps that are just intentional and more clean and high level, because we have the emotion and we have the fight. We just got to just clean up the game, and we'll be good.
And you guys have played, I would argue, the toughest schedule in the country. Mm-hmm. Two at Ohio State, two at Ball State, two at UC Irvine, Hawaii now. This is hard. Tonight, you've got a young but talented Hawaii team coming in. BYU's a little more experienced with the seniors. How do you feel you match up with Hawaii?
They feel like a double-edged sword, you know. They can either just go take over a game or they have a rough time. But I feel confident in my guys, man. We've been working hard. And we know them. We did our film. We watch our film. But we're gonna focus on our stuff because we know our strengths. And we're just going to play to them, really. And just go all out.
Keone, what's your vertical right now?
45.
5 inches. At what point in your life did you realize, I can jump really ridiculously high?
When I realized I was going to be the shortest outside in this league, I was like, yeah, I better hit the squats. So that's maybe around senior year is when I started getting my hops up.
Now, I know you said tongue-in-cheek. It's just squats that make me jump. It's got to be more than that, Keone.
Hey, guys.
A little more than that.
But if you don't have a good squat, then the rest doesn't work. So that's got to get the basics, the foundation. It's important.
Absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to tonight. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's always an honor.
And all the BYU Sports Nation karma, the good luck we can give you. Tonight, 9 Eastern in the Smithfield House, number 5 BYU, number 4 Hawaii, epic proportions. Cannot wait to watch Keone serve up a 75-mile-an-hour ace tonight.
He's an MVP volleyball player, and he's got an MVP mustache.
Absolutely.
Here. Come on. And an MVP vert, for that matter. We'll put a bow on the Friday show with our Rise and shout out to National.
Why'd you say bow after Hawaii?
I don't know. I'm just reading what's in front of me, Jerem. National championships in the classroom. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about it next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
App. Welcome back to the show. Our question of the day.
Anybody fired up after that Keone Thim interview for BYU Hawaii tonight?
I need to go do my squats.
Woo!
And grow a mustache, apparently, and then I can jump 45 inches.
No thanks, I'm both.
BYU men's basketball has 6 road games remaining, currently favored in 2 of them by 1 point in each of those 2. How many road games do you expect BYU to win the rest of the season? At Mr. BYU on X says, realistically 2, optimistically 3, ideally 6.
That's okay. Well cogitated. Yeah.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from @Kyle_813 also on X says,
how many Kyles are there?
I seem to be the only one that thinks this, but 4.
Okay.
I think they get the obvious ones and then steal another 2. What are the obvious ones? Arizona State and UCF. They're 1-point favorites.
Cincinnati, West Virginia, Arizona, Arizona State, Iowa State. The other two are Arizona and Iowa State.
He continues, I'd love for stealing another two in reference to that to be Iowa State, but I think it'll more likely be Arizona and West Virginia.
That'd be awesome.
Wow.
Arizona State went to West Virginia and won. So BYU can do the same.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Congrats to the men and women's cross-country teams, both named the National Scholar Teams of the Year. So they didn't just win on the course. They won taking courses. So congratulations.
Jerem, they are the definition of student-athletes.
Athlete. As student, David Spade
student athlete.
Said in Benchwarmers. Oh, that's amazing.
Our thanks to today's guests, Jonathan Tavernari and Keone Thim.
Conor McGregor wasn't on the program. Conversation continues. BYUSN.com, all our shows on demand.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Brendan and Taylor Sanders.
Nice.
We'll see you tomorrow and tonight for gymnastics and volleyball. Go Cougs!